Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This is the first sermon in our Advent midweek series, and it's in this that we will try to come to understand better what we are saying when we call Jesus the Messiah. The Hebrew word Messiah and Mashiach and the Greek word Christ, Christos, both mean anointed one. And there were three types of anointed ones in the Old Testament: prophets, priests, and kings. Most people did not even hold one of these offices, let alone two. For example, a king was not supposed to be a priest, and vice versa. That was done among the pagans. In pagan cults, the king was often the high priest. In fact, you might think of the Roman emperor, right, being called the Pontifex Maximus, the great priest, but not in Israel. But nobody, absolutely nobody, held all three offices until the coming of Jesus. And so today we unpack a little bit what it means for Jesus to be prophet. Well, what does the word prophet mean? Whenever I ask a group of confirmation students that question, they always say somebody who can tell the future. And sometimes, not always, that is part of what prophets do. Real prophets, speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, are often able to see into the future. We heard in our reading from Deuteronomy chapter 18 that the basic litmus test of whether or not someone is a true prophet is whether or not what they say actually happens. And it is certainly true of Jeremiah the prophet, who saw the destruction of Jerusalem, Isaiah the prophet, who spoke of the birth of Jesus more than 700 years before Jesus was born. And yet the work of God's prophets involves more than merely telling the future. In addition to foretelling, prophets are engaged in the work of forthtelling, speaking truth to the present moment, to the present situation. And in fact, the biblical prophets are more concerned generally with forthtelling, calls to repentance, warnings against judgment, than they are with foretelling. The prophet speaks warning when he calls people either to repent or to face God's judgment as a consequence. The prophet speaks God's promise when they reassure God's people that he is with them and for them, and will rescue and deliver them. Think of how many times the prophets would reassure the king of Judah or the king of Israel, God's got this, he's got this battle in the bag. If you just shut up and trust him and listen and stop trying to make alliances with Assyria and Egypt. Now this work of foretelling and forthtelling was the hallmark of God's holy prophets throughout the Old Testament. And some of them, like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, Ezekiel, have long, long books in the Bible. They're called major prophets, right? Others, like Hosea and Jonah, wrote shorter books. Obadiah's prophecy is less than a page. Some of the most famous prophets that dominate the stories of the kings and the judges were not even writing prophets. Think of people like Elijah, Samuel. These prophets served like the conscience of the king when the king didn't have a conscience. And some prophets are anonymous, like the unnamed man of God in 1 Kings 13. But of all the Old Testament prophets, none is as great or as significant as Moses. Moses led the children of Israel out of slavery in Egypt to the promised land. He wrote the first five books of the Bible, not just one book like Isaiah, not two like Jeremiah. He wrote five books of the Bible, and God did mighty signs by Moses' hand. Think about the 10 plagues on Egypt, the parting of the Red Sea and the crossing on the dry land, the water from the rock, and many other wonderful things that God did for his people through Moses. In fact, the Bible tells us that Moses is one of the very few people in history with whom God actually spoke face to face, and they lived to tell about it. We're told that God spoke with Moses as a man speaks with his friend. And during Moses' farewell speech to Israel, which is 95% of the book of Deuteronomy, he gave a strange promise that after he died, God would send another prophet like him. God would someday raise up a prophet like Moses to speak God's word to Israel. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen. And as we heard in the rest of our reading from Deuteronomy 18, if you listen to this prophet like Moses, you will live, and if you don't, you will die. And this is one of the often overlooked prophecies of Jesus. Someday, some unspecified day in the future, God would send a prophet like Moses. And ever since that promise was given, Israel waited in anticipation of who that prophet would be. They came to call him the prophet like Moses. And quite notably, when the Jewish council sent a delegation to John the Baptist to figure out why he was baptizing Jews and to figure out who he was and what he was doing, one of the questions they asked him, they said, "Are you Elijah?" "No." "Are you the prophet?" See? They wanted to know if John was the prophet like Moses. He said, "No." They said, "Are you the Christ?" "Nope." And then, of course, he stood up and shouted in their faces that he's the voice of one crying out in the wilderness. But John was a prophet. We'll hear from him this Sunday. But he was not the prophet. The prophet is the office fulfilled only by Christ. Long ago, and many times and in various ways, God spoke to our fathers of old by the prophets. But now in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. God used to speak by prophets, but now he speaks through Jesus. Listen to Jesus. That's what the Lord said on the Mount of Transfiguration when Christ appeared with those two great prophets of the Old Testament, Moses and Elijah. Peter opened his mouth, said a lot of gobbledygook like Peter often did, and the Lord said, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him," or "listen to him," depending where you want to put the emphasis there. Jesus is the prophet like Moses, and yet Jesus is greater than Moses. Because as we are told in the book of Hebrews, Moses was faithful in God's house as a servant. Jesus was faithful in God's house as a son. The law, we're told by John, the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Ultimately, God's word of law spoken by Moses can only condemn us for our many sins. The Formula of Concord, one of the books in the Book of Concord, has that famous statement that the law always accuses, lex semper accusat. The law always accuses. When we hear Moses, especially think about the Ten Commandments as being sort of the example par excellence. When we hear Moses, it will always condemn us. Always. Because it's a mirror that shows us our sin, and when we look into the mirror of the law, it makes us shudder, if we have any conscience left. It will make us shudder to see our wickedness and how unholy we are. But then we hear the word of Christ, the word of grace and truth. And the word of Christ is the word of the one who became flesh and who gives us comfort and joy because he died to forgive our sins and rises and promises life, forgiveness, and salvation to everyone who hears and believes his word. Like Deuteronomy said, listen to the prophet like Moses. listen to Jesus. And that's why Peter told Jesus in one of the rare moments in Scripture where he actually said something smart, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Who else are we going to listen to?" Because only Jesus' word brings healing and mercy, and as I said, forgiveness and life. We don't always like to hear what the Bible tells us. We don't always like taking orders. We don't like being told we're wrong. But if we are willing to confess our sins, those sins that we shudder to see in the mirror of God's law, then God will forgive our sins for the sake of Jesus. And then we will hear the words of Jesus, the Son of God, Jesus, the Messiah, Jesus, the prophet, "I do not condemn you. Go and sin no more." In the name of Jesus, amen.